Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:16 in that specific summer time. Well, a very eventful day in here today, and rock and roll, I think, would probably be the best way to describe the market action, because it's just what we're seeing is a wave. We had a very positive close yesterday on Wall Street, and that fed through into Asia this morning. So the Nikkei was up over 7%. That's coming off a really quite a deep oversold condition, and not least because it hadn't rallied to nearly the same extent as some of the other markets, and today unwound a good deal of its short-term oversold condition in one swipe. Well, China was also in more positive territory here today, and so was Europe. Majority of indices in Europe were up, and we continue to see, for example, the DAX bouncing from the 10,000 level, and that was all at least preempted by the strong close on Wall Street. And Wall Street did open higher in here today and traded higher in the early part of the day, but closed down over 1% for the major indices. It's not quite a key day reversal for the Nasdaq, but we're not that far off it either. And for both the Dow and the S&P, it's counter commanded the vast majority of yesterday's upward dynamic. And what this action really says is that we're not the only people looking at the 200-day moving average, that there must be other people doing the same thing, because what we've seen is that, and it really does, I think it behooves one to look at least the last 5 years of history, because we were presented with a choppy trend. Then it became progressively more consistent between 2012 and the end of 2014, and a very noticeable loss of momentum is evident from the beginning of this year. That's at least in part explained by the fact that the Fed's quantitative easing program ended in October. Well, ended in September, in fact. You had a sharp pullback in October and then a very concerted rally through to the end of the year. Well, now we've had a much larger reaction. In fact, it's the largest reaction that we've seen since at least 2011. And when we see that, after what had become a progressively more consistent trend and then suddenly become inconsistent, well, in very simple terms, it tells us that the imbalance between supply and demand that created the consistent trend is no longer in evidence, because if it was, we'd still be trending consistently. Well, we're not trending consistently. What we've had is a really quite a deep pullback, and now a bounce back to the region of the 200-day moving average, and that represents the first area of potential resistance. It's been my view, since we saw that decline, that we were in for at least some ranging, and this, I think it is also worth considering that the VIX index, which had been I think it's not an exaggeration to describe it as unnaturally low for the last 3 years, is now at sustaining higher levels than it's had in at least 3 years, that the index is above 20 and is up to 26 in here today, whereas in the previous 3 years it hadn't really got above 20 at all. Well, that means that if you're a leveraged trader and you're using volatility to help you size your positions, that volatility is now twice what it was a year ago, and that means that your positions have got to be smaller. Then to do other than that would be to expose a strategy to the kind of risk that there is absolutely no compliance department is going to countenance. Well, then, just in very simple psychological terms, that when you have a large pullback like that, it damages sentiment. And when you see what has been a rather impressive rally subsequently, but it has taken 2 weeks to get up to the 200-day moving average, well, then you have to ask the question, who's going to be the first person that's going to pay to see the index back above that MA? Rather, I think most people would be saying, well, I'm not going to be the one to buy, because I have to look at this chart and say, where's my stop going to be? And realistically, if you were to buy the market today, then your stop would have to be at the low, or at least below the low, from August 24th. And for the vast majority of people, that is just too far away, when there is substantial resistance above the market. That's one of the reasons that what we had was at the Earth of Sellers yesterday, but there wasn't great volume. There wasn't the kind of volume on a big day like yesterday that would really start to make people enthused. And I think it's not particularly difficult to understand why. We're in a much more rangy environment. Well, considering that this was a pretty weak close on Wall Street today, it will probably feed through into Asia this morning and probably Europe in the morning as well. Then, of course, it's probably worth taking a look at some of the very largest shares on the index. And Apple is very much in the same camp, that it had been trending really quite consistently through to the beginning of this year, and it was due a consolidation, and then that consolidation went on for longer than at any time over the last few years, and then it has experienced this very deep reaction. Well, today's release of new products for the largest company in the world didn't exactly set the world alight with innovation, and at least to my eyes at least, the new iPencil looks very like the stylus that Microsoft released about 6 months ago on their tablet. So this isn't the kind of product launch that was the market would have been looking for, and we haven't seen a substantial rally in Apple. It doesn't generally respond in a dynamic way to these product announcements, but this is the area where the big questions are asked, that we've seen the big decline and we've seen the big bounce, and what's going to happen next? Well, what's probably going to happen next is people are going to need an excuse to buy, and that means that they haven't been provided with one, and then would you rather own to be buying Apple closer to 95 or 115? And that's probably what people are considering at this point, is that they'd love to be buying at a somewhat lower level, and they're somewhat reluctant to buy at today's levels for the simple reason that they're hoping that they might get a second bite at the cherry. And that's even for a share that isn't really expensive on a fundamental basis. When we look at the currency markets, today was really quite quiet, and both the pound and the euro were relatively unchanged, and we haven't had a dynamic move in the yen either. Well, the currency markets have been particularly volatile of late, and unfortunately that's probably a symptom of the way in which money is moving around at present, and I guess also the extraordinary efforts that central banks are taking to stimulate their respective economies. And therefore, we're probably going to be presented with a much more volatile currency environment, and that's likely to continue. In the commodity sector, the precious metals were relatively unchanged, not any kind of dynamic fashion, but the oil market was down pretty heavily. That, we've been presented with this environment where oil prices simply cannot sustain a rally. And that means that WTI was down almost $2 and Brent was down over $2 in here today, and they're both trading below 50 now. It's only a $3 gap between the two. Natural gas is still trading below $3, and gasoline is at $1.35. So this is still an environment where energy prices remain under pressure. The fact is that we're presented with an environment where there is just plenty of supply and a lot of money seeking bargains in the supply sector, and that's keeping a lid on prices. And also you have this the fact that Saudi Arabia is fighting a war on three fronts, and that's an expensive endeavor. They have no intention of cutting their supply when they have so many bills to meet, and because that would be to cede their market share to their greatest enemy, which is across the Persian Gulf in Iran. So there is, and Russia only earlier this week decided that they were not going to comply with a request from OPEC to cooperate in reducing supply, and certainly the USA has no interest in doing that. So we're still in a race to the bottom, and the lows that have already been posted in oil, well, there isn't a great degree of evidence that those are going to hold just yet. And I think we probably are going to need to see some form of major bankruptcy. Well, this remains a taut environment, and particularly in the equity markets, and that's helping to at least take some of the fuel out of the government bond markets. We haven't had the kind of dynamic moves in government bonds that really would have had people worried. But it does. That doesn't negate the fact that government bond yields continue to look like that they are going to go higher over time. And I think it's a mistake to get too involved in the media hoopla about exactly when an interest rate hike is going to happen. What we can conclude is that we're certainly closer to that event than we were 5 years ago. And that's what the bond market is telling us. The bond market isn't telling us when. It's telling us that we're closer to it. And corporate bond spreads have widened out. And really, we won't have an all clear until they start to tighten in once more. And it's I think it's probably a little bit naive to think that we're going to see them go all the way back down to the tightest that they've been, because government bonds are rising, and if government bond yields, excuse me, are rising, and that means that the cost of the physical cost of borrowing for corporations will also rise, even though the spread might stay the same. But it means that if the price of the loan goes up, the amount that can be borrowed will go down. And that's going to affect somebody, particularly if they're highly leveraged. So this isn't a panicky environment by any means, but we can anticipate that there is going to be additional ranging. And because of that, this isn't the kind of environment where one would be chasing a rally, because it is unlikely to be sustained. And likewise, what we are seeing is that, you know, yesterday the sentiment was really quite bullish, and we're probably towards the upper side of the range. And you look at the action and the sentiment that was being expressed 10 days ago, and it was that people were incredibly bearish, and that was the lower side of the range. And that's exactly what you see in a rangy environment, that as prices go higher, the logic for initiating long positions deteriorates, but sentiment improves, and vice versa at the lower side. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.